Thank you, Brother Hurst. I appreciate that. Hebrews chapter 11 over in the New Testament. We've been over there the last few weeks. And this is one of the monumental chapters, one of the great pillars in the Bible. It's and by the way, do you recall what it is, what the great theme, what one word can say? What is it? Faith, that's right. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." Now, one of the things we found out is that God is asking us as individuals concerning some issues of faith to trust Him. Everybody has it. Everybody has some things in life that He is calling for us to trust Him in. In fact, the testimony of your life will be written by, in those moments, you trusting the Lord. It helps me that there are so many great Bible characters who the Bible records here. We get to see what challenges that they faced, and we get to, and the challenges that they face are very similar to the challenges that we'll face if you look at them closely. And today we're in chapter 11, verses 8 and 9, and we're looking at Abraham and Sarah. They are extremely important. Over in Genesis 12, the Lord put a call on Abraham's life. He even mentions it here, verse 8. "But by faith, Abraham, when he was called," that happened in Genesis chapter 12, "the Lord told him to leave a place called Ur of the Chaldees and to go to a land that the Lord would show him. And Abraham wonderfully, marvelously obeyed." And in just a little bit, we're going to talk about how difficult it was to obey the Lord. Because even though it seems simple to me, these issues of faith, all of the faith I see here, it's hindsight. You know, I'm not the person with my life on the line. I'm not the person who is being asked to act on those things, and yet they're recorded there so that I will do that, that I will depend upon the Lord and trust Him. But God has some issues for me to trust Him in as well. I want to identify those. I want to trust God and believe Him. And I want to leave a testimony just as these dear folks did in the 11th chapter. Let me read it here. It says, "By faith, Abraham, when he was called," and first point is his calling. And it says, "to go out into a place which he should receive for an inheritance, obeyed." And that's the second issue that we're looking at this morning, is Abraham's careful obedience. It says he went out, not knowing whither he went, and by faith he sojourned in the land of promise in a strange country. And that's the third issue there, the issue of the country and contentment that he had to live in a tent in a strange country, because God called him to that tent and to that place. And that is a great blessing. It should help us. But it also says that he was, in verse 10, looking for a city. It says, "For he looked for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God." So we have four simple things, is going to be easy to follow. Number one, there's a call on his life. There's a call on yours as well. And number two, it required what he did in trusting the Lord, extremely careful obedience. And God is asking the same from us. And then the third issue was that he had contentment, even though he was in a strange country. And then the fourth issue was he was looking to the future. He realized that this world is not an end in itself, that there is eternity out there. There's a city whose builder and maker is God that he's prepared for us. And so his eyes were on those things. The title of the message this morning is Dwelling in Tabernacles. Dwelling in Tabernacles. I love the fact that God asked him while he was on this earth to dwell in a tent. And why did he do that? Because everything on this earth is temporary. In fact, God compares your body to a tent. It is temporary on this planet. But there is eternity to come, and the choices that we make in this life are going to determine, aren't they, our eternity. We will make the right choices and the type of eternity, even if we know Jesus Christ, the eternal usefulness that we'll have to God come as a result of choices that we're making on this planet. So It's temporary. Whatever God is, that you have today that's in darkness and you're not exactly sure what the future holds. I mean, you don't have 20/20 vision. You don't even see the light at the end of the tunnel. Please remember that whatever God is asking you to go through, it's only temporary. Well, let's look at his calling. First of all, it says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed. And so there was a calling upon his life. I can tell you the first calling, it's very simple, salvation. Abraham had to be saved, like I had to be saved. And you have to be saved. It's over in Romans chapter 4. Would you hold your place in Hebrews 11 and go over to the book of Romans chapter 4? God holds up Abraham as one of the great examples of salvation faith. He looked forward to God's promise of his son, and we look back to the promise of God's son and what Jesus Christ did on that cross in payment for our sin. But the issue is salvation. I know that you think you look pretty good to the Lord, but you don't look nearly as good as you think you do. And Romans chapter 4 and verse 1 says, what shall we say then that Abraham our father is pertaining to the flesh hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, justified just as if I'd never sinned. It's God's forgiveness for my wrong and my sin. For if Abraham were justified by works, by going to church, by doing good things, then he could boast in himself, shouldn't he? It says, whereof to glory, but not before God. Because what happened? Verse 3, it was his faith in God's word and God's promise that brought him salvation. For what hath the scripture, Abraham believed God, verse 3, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is a reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. Let me read verse 5. But to him that worketh not, salvation doesn't come by works, right? But believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. So praise the Lord, the call to Abraham was to believe God, and he did. And I still remember the day when I trusted in Jesus Christ. I want to make sure this morning that you're not trusting in a prayer. One of my favorite verses is Romans chapter 10, verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But it's very easy to trust in a prayer. It's not a prayer. A person believes on the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ in payment for your sin. What brings salvation is trusting in Jesus Christ and what he did for you, receiving it as a free gift so that your sins might be forgiven through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's not belief in a prayer, Romans 10, 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, but it's belief in Jesus Christ and what he did. And as I call upon the name of my Savior and receive him as my personal Savior, I am saved. Praise the Lord, there was a call for salvation. But there was also a call for service. There was a call for good works. You know, my life is complete in Jesus Christ, receiving him as my personal Savior. But after salvation, the Lord has so much for me to do for him. Not to be saved. Salvation is by faith, it's not by works. But after being saved, God wants to take my life and use it for his glory. And so the Lord called Abraham to a life of service, and so has he you. Over in John 17, verse 4, let me get you to go over there, John 17, verse 4, and please just limber up your Bible there and open up a few pages. We've got some scriptures to look at. They're so important. I love what Jesus said in John 17, verse 4. Jesus Christ was the God-man. He was God, completely God, but he was also man. He was completely man. He was the God-man, the perfect substitute to come and for God to place all of our sin upon his son, and then for the Lord to pour out all of his wrath for all of the sin that's ever been committed, all the way back to the garden when Adam and Eve took of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, all the way to this time and all the way into the future. Jesus Christ took all of that sin upon himself, and God poured out all of his anger on Jesus Christ instead of us, and therefore we can be delivered from our sin. But when Jesus was on this work, this earth, he was an example as the perfect man. Now get that in your mind for just a minute. What should a human being, what should they be like? Well, God put his Son on this earth so that we would have the perfect salvation through his Son, but also the perfect example. And what did he do in John 17 and verse 4? Right before he went to Calvary, he calls out to God the Father, and he says in John 17 verse 4, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. I finished the work that you gave me to do. Well, what does that have to do with me? You have a work that God has designed your life to do. God put you on this planet to accomplish something for him. The Bible says in Ephesians 2 and verse 10 that we were created unto good works. Jesus, the perfect man, said, I completed it. I have done the work which you sent me to do. And one day the Lord will open the books and we'll be judged, those that are saved at the judgment seat of Christ, by our works. And what is that? God designed my life to accomplish something for him. And a big part of it is trusting the Lord, believing God, stepping out in faith, because I know God has said this is right and this is what I should do, but I'm not sure what the future is going to hold if I do that. No, I'm going to do that because God has shown me. That's part of the work. Look over in Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse number 5. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse number 5. This is a verse of scripture that God used to speak to my heart and my personal devotions when I was a youth and I was wrestling with the issue of God's call upon my life. I felt like the Lord was calling me to preach. And I thought, Lord, I am too young to take that responsibility. That is certainly for someone much older than I am, much wiser than I am. And I remember the morning, just like as yesterday, you know, turn the light on, having devotions there with the Lord. And Jeremiah chapter 1, opened it up, started reading about the words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, and the priests that were in Anath in the land of Benjamin. And then I got to verse 5. It says, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nation. And verse 6, this is exactly what I'd been telling the Lord. Lord, you're crazy. Lord, please take these desires in my heart away, because I just don't see any way this is going to work. Then I said, oh, Lord God, all I cannot speak, for I'm a child. And then the Lord said, verse 7, but the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee. And whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. And verse 8, I was one of the shyest human beings you ever met. And in verse 8, the angst of meeting new people and going into new situations. Some people are social butterflies, and I was not a social butterfly, all right, by any means. But verse 8, the Lord answered that, but be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. The Lord had a work for my life to do. And the Lord has a work for every person's life. And that is extremely important. But the major portion of that work is not teaching Sunday school or preaching in the pulpit this morning, but it is in believing God in the issues that the Lord is allowing to come your way, where you have to act in faith and trust the Lord in those issues. Those are tremendous works for which God has designed your life. You say, well, preacher, what do you base that on? Give me chapter and verse. Hebrews 11. We're talking about a lot of folks who in their lives, they had incredible moments, and they had to make decisions and follow through on what God said. We looked at Noah last week, who had a 120-year job that didn't make sense to go fell trees in the mountains and drag them down into a place where there was no water, because somehow God had told him it was going to rain. And people ask him, well, what is rain? Well, he wasn't sure himself what rain is. He'd never seen it before. And it was going to flood. Well, what's a flood? I don't know. But God told me I'm bringing the trees, and if you want to join me, you come on and join me. And no one did, except for his sons, their wives, and Noah's wife, and those animals that he put on that ark. Well, he had a great call in his life to trust God in a huge area. Oh, listen, let the Lord help you identify that area and step forward and trust him and believe him. I always think about those priests who, when they had to cross the Jordan River during the time of Joshua, and they crossed during the worst time of the year. The thing was at flood stage. Let's just camp over here. Let's wait about 6 weeks and it'll all go down and we can just walk over. But you know what? It's at flood stage, and they chose the worst part to cross. Hey, what if we just hike down this way a few miles? You know, we could wade across some areas there. We'll hold the babies up. We'll get across and survive. Let's don't go here. But the Lord said, no, let's cross here. And that moment when they had the priests with the Ark of the Covenant on their shoulders, and they came up to the waters that were angry and swollen, and they put their foot out in faith, and suddenly the thing opened, and they all marched across on dry ground. I have issues in my life. You have issues in your life like that. Let's believe God. And hey, the sky is the promise of what God will do. Now, Romans chapter 12, verse 1, as we head back to Hebrews, let's stop off there. We were talking about it just a few minutes ago. The Lord wants us to present our bodies a living sacrifice. And I think one of the most difficult things in a very selfish age, an age defined by selfies, in a very selfish age, the Lord says, one of the greatest things I want you to do is to be selfless, to be selfless. I want you to give. I want you to give. I want you to give of yourself. Everything inside of me says, I'm being required to give too much. It's not fair. When I was a kid, I always liked one for you, one for me, one for you, one for me. I always tease my wife, no matter how she cuts the pie. This happened last weekend. Our son and daughter-in-law grandchildren were with us, and my granddaughter got a bigger piece than I did. I want you to know that, and I've been struggling with it. But we had a nice big piece of birthday cake for Asti there. Madison got a bigger piece, and I always say, I think hers is bigger than mine, because I like even Stephen, right? And that's just the way it is, but that's not the way life is, and it will never be that way. And so what God wants me to do is give of myself. Romans 12, verse 1, I beseech you, which says, I beg you, right? Beseech means to beg. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. And again, it's a living sacrifice. There are days, like Sunday go to meeting days, where we love to lay our lives on the altar. God, I'm here, and I love you, and it's so great to serve here, help out in the nursery, or sing in the choir, or play an instrument, or teach a class, greet people, or do security. It's just so wonderful to be here. This is fantastic. But then there's a lot of times on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, that it's a little hard. You know, your mate is not pulling their weight. Or somebody, the kids are requiring something of me. Or at work, you know, others don't have the burdens I have, and I think our pay grade is the same. This doesn't seem fair. But Romans 12, verse 1, the Lord says, I want you to daily just present your life a living sacrifice, because it's living on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. It can get up and walk off. And I don't want you to do that. I want you to willingly offer your life a living sacrifice. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Reasonable means it makes sense. It makes sense that God saved me not to give me a ticket to heaven. I mean, that is true. He did save me to go to heaven. But he saved me so that he could take my life and use it. And there is a truth. There is joy in serving the Lord. And when I say serving, I'm not talking about singing in the choir. There is joy there. Or being security, or helping in the nursery, or teaching a class. I'm talking about just having a heart and a philosophy and a spirit that says, here I am, Lord. What are you doing today? Well, how do you want to use my life? What way are you asking me to sacrifice? How important that I be willing to give my life a sacrifice. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. We're on our way back. We'll get there in a minute. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 to 7. The Bible talks about the sacrifice of the Lord. I mentioned to the folks on Wednesday night in our Wednesday night Bible study there and prayer meeting time about how that on the way that night to the service, I'd been had the radio on, was listening to a message on the radio, and a guy was talking, and the introduction to it, the guy who was going to introduce the speaker was giving some things from what had happened in a previous message. And he was talking about the most important quality of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And he threw out love and he threw out patience. And he said, is that it? And when the speaker came on, he said something kind of blew me away. He said, selflessness. Selflessness. Yeah, it's right here, Philippians chapter 2. It says in verse 2, Philippians 2, verse 2, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let me go to verse 5. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, selfless, 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 and took upon him the form of a servant, selfless, the Son of God, went down into a manger in Bethlehem and took the body of a little infant and was cared for by a young woman by the name of Mary and lived his life for the Lord Jesus, for God the Father there, so that he could die on the cross for our sins, a perfect life. Verse 7, made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And in verse 5, what does he want from me? Same mind, same spirit, same selfless heart. You know what? That starts with just trusting God and believing the Lord. It's extremely important. Now, this morning, and I like to emphasize this, you've heard this before here and from this pulpit, everyone is in full-time Christian service. Now, we used to, we'd have, okay, somebody's in full-time service. Our missionaries, Brother Frey, who's going to be with us in mid-July, well, he's a missionary, he's in full-time service. A pastor is in full-time service. This person, this Christian school teacher, they're in full-time service for the Lord. But everyone is called to full-time service. David was in government. He was a king. Wasn't a priest. Wasn't a prophet. He wasn't a preacher. He was in government. He was a king. Luke was a doctor. He was a physician. He was a pretty key part of the Apostle Paul's entourage as they went from place to place, establishing churches and preaching the gospel. And a lot of what he did was take care of Paul and Paul's health. He needed it. Hey, Paul had taken a beating preaching the gospel and in prison. Nehemiah was a bureaucrat. He was a mid-level bureaucrat, and God called him to go down and oversee all the experience that he had among the Medes and the Persians, to take that down and to rebuild the walls around the city of Jerusalem. Amos was a seasoned fig picker. You can look it up. That's what he did for a living. He was not what we would classify in full-time service. Abraham, the man that God is holding up to this morning in the issues of faith, was a sheep herder. Sometimes we've got some really weird ideas. Everybody is called to full-time service for the Lord. I thank God for there's a wonderful pastor who's had a great influence in my life. That pastor is now with the Lord, but he didn't know anything about Jesus Christ until a very godly man that he worked with began to talk to him and invite him to church and explain the gospel to him. And ultimately, he came and got under the sound of the gospel, and he came to know Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. And you know what? The guy who led him to Christ never taught Sunday school. He never served in any full-time capacity in a local church. He's just a man who loved God and wanted to serve God with all of his heart, with all of his mind, all of his soul. And what do you know? He led that pastor such a blessing to my heart. And, you know, I've got three areas that I ought to be full-time in. You ought to be thinking about. Abraham was full-time. He's a sheep herder. But number one, I ought to be thinking about salvation witness to others. I've been saved so that I can tell others about Jesus Christ. And can I ask you this? And I want you to think about it. That's a pretty important issue. When is the last time you actually shared Jesus Christ with another human being? You're on your way to heaven. You could take all of the scripture and give many scriptures. If someone wanted to get off the Romans road and say, well, I don't understand 3:10 here or 3:23. Well, you could take half a dozen others and say, well, listen, this is what the Bible says. And we walk around all clammed up and tight. And when's the last time you shared Jesus Christ with someone? Hey, that's serving the Lord. When's the last time you gave praise to God to other people? I appreciate those who stood and gave blessings and the goodness of the Lord. But one of the reasons I was created was to praise God. I ought to be praising Him all the time. No matter how hard I may have walked in and thought, I have it so hard, I have it so difficult, my heart ought to be lifted up with praise. God's Holy Spirit will help me to see how God is blessing me. And I ought to be bearing spiritual fruit. So salvation witness, showing praise to others, and bearing spiritual fruit. Back in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 8, there's the calling. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should receive for inheritance, the Bible says he obeyed, his careful obedience. Oh, that was a sticky problem. Sticky problem. You know, for Abraham, if you wanted to be successful, the philosophy of the world would be, hey, stay in Ur of the Chaldees. Get into business, Abraham. Listen, you could be a wealthy man. You have a lot of character. And you trust and believe God. And boy, that's the most important thing in the world, isn't it? To be extremely wealthy. And so stay in Ur of the Chaldees. And then when he had to tell all his friends and family, where are you going, Abraham? Why are you all packing up? You got a bigger house you're going to? No, actually, we're going to live in a tent. And we're going to a place over here, I'm not really sure, you know, affording to dress it, I can leave you, but God is going to tell me. And when he does, I'll try to send you word back, okay? Because I'm not sure exactly where. Abraham's been out in the sun too long. What's wrong with him? He was going to a place that was unknown, and he was leaving his support system. Everything he was familiar with. Sometimes I see dear missionaries, and they go thousands and thousands of miles away from home. And they go into a culture, you know. Denise, I enjoyed being sent on a mission trip last year by our church. But I told her, this, you know, if we ever do that again, I'm going to go to a place that speaks English. I tell you what, it's just hard everywhere you go. And, you know, how much is this? And Americano, oh, he doesn't know anything, I tell you. And you know, I'm going to go to a place that speaks English and spread the gospel over there and be a help. But we enjoyed that very much. But can you imagine going to a place and you leave all that you're familiar with, all of your support system, all your family, they can't help you. They're so far away. And he did it. And he was careful. It was sticky. It was difficult. But he believed God. It's an encouragement that even though he was careful in his obedience, he still failed. You know, maybe you're sitting here saying, wait a minute. Wasn't it Abraham that turned to Sarah and asked her to lie? And didn't he do that twice to say that she was his sister because he was worried? You're right. That's him. That's the one. And isn't he the one that took Hagar to be his wife? And now we're still sorting it out over in Iraq and Iran and Afghanistan because Ishmael and his descendants, they live over there. And we're still sorting that out. You're right. You're right. But he came back. And every time he slipped away from the Lord, he came home. He went back to the land of promise. He would build an altar. And he would make things right with God. And he would... I'm so glad the Lord loves us. You know, I was thinking the other day of something terrible that happened when we were young parents. I'm not going to say which child, but we had a little one. And he was in his nap time. And we could hear him in there. It was time for him to get up. And I think Denise and I both may have opened the door. And I think she survived. I think I fell out. But anyway, he had gotten into his diaper. Apparently he had done his business. And he had gotten into his diaper. And I did not know that stuff could be spread all over sheets and wall, up and down the crib there, in his hair, on his face. So, you know, I pushed forward the person most qualified to handle these things. And I went and prayed for, you know, I'm sure that's what I can't remember. But you know, you look, he was so happy to see us. The smell was so bad. Oh man, you just want a mask, oxygen, something. How can he stand it? But he was standing there and he was sure that we were so happy to see him. He was so happy. And many times, if we could see ourselves as God sees us, we're so proud of ourselves, we made it to church. We did this week. I actually had devotions this week. I passed out a track. It was in a phone booth, and I hid it in there. But I did pass out a track. I left someone and shared the gospel. So when the preacher said, hey, have you talked to anybody? I could say, yes, I did. I put that track in the phone booth. No one saw it. I put it in there. But you know what? When God sees me, that's so often the way I look. There's sin that's touched my life as a believer. I've grieved him. Issues of faith. I failed in, just like Abraham when the famine came. And he said, listen, we've got to go to a different place. And so he said, look, Sarah, they're looking at you. And I think they would kill me so they could have you to be their wife. And so just please say that you're my sister and everything will be okay. And he left the promised land. He lied. He took the low path when he dishonored God by taking Hagar to be a concubine wife, and he brought Ishmael into the world, and God never intended for those things. But I'm so thankful when he came back, the Lord received him, and he receives us today. And look over Matthew 12 and verse 50. This is an extremely important verse, and that's this. If you are a saved person, you will come back. And your heart inside of a person who's been saved, you've become a new creature. You want to please God. It does not mean that in moments of pressure that you are not faithful, you know, that you don't trust God. Those things happen. And you make choices based not on faith in the promises and the Word of God, but you make choices based upon what you can see. And it never works out well, ask Abraham. But in Matthew 12 and verse 50, saved folks, in their heart, they want to please God. They want to obey God. Matthew 12, verse 50, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same as my brother and sister and mother. You know, people were saying, hey, your family's here, Jesus. And I know you want to go over there and talk to them. They're here. And Jesus used it as an opportunity to point out a great spiritual truth. Those that are part of God's family, they love Jesus Christ and they want to obey him. It does not mean that they don't make mistakes, that they don't sin. And Abraham sinned. And listen, because God loved Abraham, he didn't wipe things away with Ishmael. We're still sorting them out. And this week we almost went to war with the descendants of Ishmael over there in Iran. But God doesn't save us from our consequences of our sin. But he does save us from sin. And when you start and you make the choice, then you lose the right to make the other choices. And God takes things to a conclusion that he knows is right. And so back in Hebrews, we've got to stop. Hebrews chapter 11. Praise the Lord for this calling upon his life. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for inheritance, he obeyed. Careful obedience. And he went out not knowing whether he went. And this morning, God is asking for the same for us. Perhaps you've never by faith heard the first call that Abraham heard in Romans 4, the call of salvation. Or perhaps this morning you're depending on a prayer. Well, I prayed that prayer. Well, listen, don't you understand that the purpose, the issue of the prayer is a heart that's broken by sin, that cries out in belief to God, recognizing that God has made a way to forgive you your sin, and you're asking for that free gift in Christ for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. It's not the words of the prayer, it's the attitude of the heart, and it's a heart of repentance and faith, and they go together throughout the Scriptures. That's extremely important. Are you saved? Number two, you may be here and you've come today and you're smiling just as our little one there many years ago was smiling. So happy to see us. No idea that anything could be wrong. And yet, I tell you what, I still wake up in nightmares thinking about that experience. But you've come today, and sin has done a number on your life. We use these front steps and these front pews just to take things to God and get cleaned up. That's why we got here into the Word, the wonderful water of the Word that helps to refresh us and renew our minds and help us to be right with God. Let's pray. Heads bowed and eyes closed. And Denise is coming to the piano, and in just a moment, as we love to do in every service, going to have a gospel invitation. Are you saved? Do you know this morning that if you died, you'd go to heaven? Have you heard God's call? He's extended that call. Whosoever will, to the Lord may come. And today, His hand is outstretched. He's offering salvation as a free gift through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Will you come and let me help you and take things a little further? Sit down with the Word of God. And if you'll come, if you're here and you're a lady, we have a lady ladies that can help you. If you're a man, we have men that can help you. And they'll be glad to sit down, explain the truths, and help you to trust in Jesus Christ and be saved. Believe on Jesus Christ today. It's scriptural, Romans chapter 10. Won't you come? You may be here today and you're saved, but you know what? A lot of choices have smeared your life with awful sin. And it's an offense to a holy God. And sometimes we're thinking of really bad things in our estimation, but the issue is we haven't trusted God in His promises. We haven't taken Him at His word. We have offended a holy God. We have grieved Him as much as my wife and I when we opened that door and saw our precious baby in the state that he was in. And this morning, you need to get cleaned up. Get some things right with Him. Walk out of here to believe and trust God and to live a life of selflessness in the mind of Jesus Christ. Father, thank You for the opportunity to be in this place today and for the great truths of Hebrews chapter 11, this great faith chapter. And Lord, we have many going today. I'm thankful for every person that is here, and I'm rejoicing in this opportunity. You knew exactly who would be here, and You know the needs of our hearts. And Lord, I pray that if there is a man or a woman, a teen or a boy or girl here, and they've never trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, or they have very serious doubts that if they died, they'd go to heaven, God, help them to care enough in just a moment when we stand to our feet that they would meet me here. And as I see them coming, I'll come to greet them and help them and introduce them to that person that will take the Bible and share the gospel with them, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ in payment for our sin. And they can leave this place today with the load of sin lifted and full assurance that if they died, they'd go to heaven. 100% assurance, according to 1 John 5 and verse 13. Help them to come. Lord, I pray for believers, those issues of faith that we are failing in. Lord, we offend a holy God. You've given Your word. The scriptures are filled with great promises and truths about all the issues of life. And we're not believing You. And we're offending You. God, help us to get cleaned up today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.